Okay, so we're gonna try to finish off Proverbs 4. We kind of rushed through it last week, but I want to go back through some of these scriptures. I think it'll be worth it. So, I mean, we really solidly finished through verse 13. And then verse 14 is where Solomon warning his son to not go into the path of the wicked and to not go in the way of evil men. And he's just kind of, at this point, he's contrasting the path of the wicked to the path of righteousness, the path of wisdom, the path of the just. And so, you know, he's talking about this path of the wicked in verses 14 through 17. And, this is just reality. There's wicked people on this earth. There's people that have chosen the path of darkness, and their delight is to do evil. That's their delight. That's what they rejoice in. And but they're not content to just do evil themselves. We see in verse 16, they'll lose sleep over trying to take other people down. You know? And that's just the reality. Their bread is wickedness. That's what they eat is wickedness. They love it. They eat it up. What they drink, their wine, is violence. Violent. That's something, Lord, save us from violence, you know? Save us from violence. Help us to learn how to be patient, to learn how to be pure, to learn how to be diligent, you know, and work and eat the fruits of our labor. So, those are the two paths we're seeing. Well, that's the one path, and then the second path is verse 18. And it's the path of the just. And I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just. Now, if you go to Acts 3, verse 14. Acts 3, verse 14. Peter's preaching to the men of Israel. In verse 14, he says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, killed the Prince of Life. The just is Jesus Christ. That's one of his names, the just. If you go to Habakkuk chapter 2, it's a good scripture here.
Where?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
It's after Nahum. It's before Zephaniah. I don't know if that helps. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And then Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Habakkuk 2. Remember, this is the path of the just. The ultimate just one is Jesus Christ. It's going to be his path. Habakkuk 2, verse 4, he says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Okay? So people get lifted up with themselves. He goes, they're not upright. They're not upright. But the just shall live by his faith. The path of the just. This is the path of Jesus Christ. He is the just. But this is a path of faith. And ultimately, it's the faith of Jesus Christ. I think it's important to understand. I don't know if you've ever had that revelation, but when you receive the true faith of Jesus Christ, by the way, you have to receive faith. You don't, it's not something you have in you naturally. It's not like you're born and I have faith. No, every good and perfect gift has to come from above. So you have to receive faith in order to believe in the living God. That's a gift that you receive from him. When you receive faith from God, the faith that you're receiving is the exact same faith that Jesus Christ had and that he has. That's why it's called the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faith of him. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't have faith. Well, if you don't have faith, you're not saved. You're not born again if you don't have any faith. Maybe you struggle with faith. Maybe you're weak in faith. Okay? It's okay. Even if you're weak in faith, take that little bit of faith, even if it's just a grain of a mustard seed. If it's the real deal, if it's the faith of Christ, that thing's going to grow. It's going to become mighty. Have confidence. It's not about your faith. It's his faith. It's his faith first. This is the path of the just. It's Jesus' path, and it's a path of his faith.
Can I read a verse on the faith?
Sure, go ahead.
It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of the things which do appear.
Amen. That's right. Through faith we understand this, that everything that you see wasn't made by something that's seen.
Yeah.
It's impossible, because everything that's seen has to have a cause. It has to have a beginning. They're all dependent. Everything that you see is dependent. So how can it come about from just seeing things? Yeah.
Just to word to confirm what you said now, Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me.
Amen.
To live by his faith.
The faith of the Son of God. Amen. And I think some of the new versions mess it up and say faith in the Son of God. Now, I know, you know, look, we do have to have faith in the Son of God, but again, look at that little twist. No, it's the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. You live it by his faith. Now, watch this. Back in Proverbs 4, verse 18, but the path of the just, so this is a path of Christ. He is the just. This is a path of his faith. What is this path like? What's it as? It is as the shining light. Amen. Right? John 1. Right? John chapter 1. We're just going to run a lot of scriptures. I just want to soak your hearts and minds in the scriptures tonight. And just let the word wash you a little bit. John chapter 1. Some of these scriptures you'll know. Some of them will be new to you. But these are good. Path of the just is as the shining light. Verse 5. John 1, 5.
Yeah.
You read it?
Read it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not.
Amen. The light shineth. That's the shining light. Verse 9. God's God, no?
Me?
Yeah.
That was the true light. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Amen. This is the shining light that shines in darkness. It's the true light that lights every man that comes to the world. It says the shining light. Go back to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Now, he's talking to Israel, but who's is thy light? It's not Israel's light, although it is Israel, but it's not your light. The light that you need, the light that's for you, has come to you. What is that light? And the glory of the Lord, that's the glory of Jesus Christ, is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Listen, you have to understand, there's this really weird false movement out there. It's like dominionism, dominion doctrine. Do you know about this? Dominion doctrine and the seven, what is it, the seven pyramids? The seven pyramids, government, economics, and education, and entertainment, and arts, and this is weird Christian thing, and it's completely in line with the Antichrist. They're going to worship the Antichrist, these people. Yeah, seven pillars.
And so, they think of the seven sacraments in the Catholic Church.
So here's what they teach. The seven mountains. Basically, they teach that Jesus will not come back until the church has to first take over all of these sectors. We have to take over the governments. We have to take over the entertainment industry. We have to take over the economies. We have to take over the church must conquer these seven mountains. Read Revelation. Anybody read Revelation? Real quick, just look, okay? I wasn't planning on going here, but just, you got to be aware of this stuff.
But everything's different. I mean, the opposite of it.
It's the opposite, yeah. Look at Revelation 17. So, God have mercy. God have mercy. This false doctrine is in the NAR movement, the New Apostolic Reformation movement. I think the word of faith is pretty much in alignment with this as well. So you really got to beware, because this is anti-word, and therefore it's anti-Christ. Revelation 17, he's talking about the great whore, Babylon. She's sitting on seven heads. The beast has seven heads. Watch this, verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. This isn't the chaste virgin of Christ that's going to be betrothed to Christ. This is the whore who's going to be burnt with fire and destroyed. This is Babylon. She sits on the seven mountains. And this dominion thing is that we need to take back the territory. We need to take back. The church is going to conquer. And we're going to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord. And then Jesus will come. No. Complete opposite. Now, anybody who believes that, you know who they're going to worship as Christ, is they're going to worship the Antichrist, because they're going to think, we've conquered it, and here he comes, and we prevail, and they're going to just completely fall in line with the Antichrist. No, the truth is, Isaiah 60, you can also read Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, you can read all those passages as well, and read the book of Revelation. No, Isaiah 60, verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, not light. And gross darkness, not just darkness, but gross. This is like the most vile darkness shall cover the people. When he's talking about the people, he's talking about Israel. I mean, Israel is going to be the most vile place on earth right before the Lord comes. So before Jesus comes back, the church ain't going to conquer. The Antichrist is going to conquer. Darkness is going to conquer. It's going to cover the earth. But then, right there, but the Lord, that's Jesus, the shining light, shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. This is when he finally saves Israel, and Israel turns back to the Lord. They receive Jesus as their Messiah. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Amen. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. The shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light. But it's not just a shining light, back in Proverbs 4. Well, this is a shining light, but it's not just shining light. It's a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, what we just read about in Isaiah 60, verse 2, that's the perfect day. The perfect day in the scriptures is when Jesus Christ comes back, when he returns. That's the perfect day. And we won't read all these scriptures. Maybe let's just grab a few of them. But you can write down, just write down this reference. You can look it up later. Colossians 1:28. Just talks about Paul's ministry, how he labored and he preached and he taught. And his whole ministry was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The perfect day is when the perfect one comes, and we want to be presented perfect before him. That's the goal. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8 talks about, well, verse 7 and 8, actually, we can run them together. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 and 8.
So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So that's the day. It's the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's when he comes, and he's going to confirm us until that day, and the goal is that we would be blameless in that day. Philippians. Go to Philippians 1 real quick. I want you to see what the true call of the gospel is. This is the true call of the gospel. Anything less is, it's error. but taught wrong. It's not, let's just get saved and we just live however we want, and, you know, whatever. It's okay, we're going to heaven. We just lose out on rewards. No, the true call of the gospel is to be presented blameless in Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul is confident of this very thing. And we need to be confident of this too, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the perfect day. The path of the just. That's what we're on. We got on the path of just. He started it, and we have to be confident that he will perform it until that day. Now look at verse 10. Paul's praying that their love would abound more and more knowledge and judgment. Verse 10, that they would approve things that are excellent, that they may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. The light shines more and more under the perfect day. You're going to be presented blameless in Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 16. In fact, even look at 15. This is good. Look at how it runs together. 15 and 16. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul goes, man, I'm laboring, so everybody will get there blameless, without offense, spotless in Jesus Christ, and we're going to rejoice in that day. And yeah, we shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Listen, maybe you've seen this nation get worse over the last 30, 40 years. Yes, nations go through things, but let's just understand, the world's always been evil. It's always been corrupt. Before the flood, after the flood, before the cross, after the cross. So if you're watching a lot of YouTube videos about the Illuminati and about the world and about look at the vaccine and look at the COVID and this is the mark of the beast and it's upon us. No, you're deceived. It's not. When the mark of the beast is upon us, you'll know it's the mark of the beast because he'll have been fully revealed. It won't be something you'll be snuck into taking. It'll be you're swearing allegiance to him as Christ. You will swear allegiance to him as Christ. Okay? And it's not going to be inserted in your arms, right hand or forehead. So listen, the point is, well, we'll see. We'll find out. I think we might, but I hope we're not. But here's the deal. The deal is this. We're not there yet. The world's always been evil. It's always been corrupt. So don't get consumed by it. Because he said, it's going to get darker. In fact, it's going to get grossly dark in Israel. But the path of the just, it's the shining light. It shines more and more. And haven't we seen this in our own lives? Haven't you seen this in your own life, that the more you walk in Christ, the brighter it gets? I mean, I know the world's getting darker, but I feel like my life's getting brighter and brighter. I mean, sometimes I'm like, how can I keep this thing going? I feel like I'm going to explode at times. Sometimes, like, this thing, this life is amazing. Not to say, like, that, I'm not saying it's easy and whatever. I mean, look, I weep more than I've ever wept, you know? So I have more sorrow than I've ever had, but there's more joy. There's joy in that sorrow. It's not like this vain loneliness and garbage and all this stuff that lost people deal with. Amen. And 2 Peter. So all those other verses I'm trying to build up, but I think this is like the best companion verse with Proverbs 4. If you're looking for a perfect companion verse for Proverbs 4, the path of the just, I like this one a lot. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Now again, this is interesting. Peter is talking about how they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' glory. Okay? They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' glory. He actually saw Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. They entered into the cloud of the Father when he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Okay? Now look at, have you ever had a good experience with God, in the presence of God? Well, it hasn't even come close to a Peter experience, okay? Okay? Not even close. So look at the best fish and bread experience you've ever had out there with the guys. It's not even close to what Peter experienced. Watch what Peter says. Verse 19. He said, we have also, okay, so this is above and beyond the eyewitness experience he had. Again, back in verse 16 and 17, 18, he's talking about that eyewitness experience in the Holy Mount. But we have something else. Verse 19, we have also, what? A more sure word of prophecy. Okay, try and process this, okay? He says, we eyewitnessed his glory. But I have something that's more sure than that, than my eyewitness, what I saw with my eyes. I have something even better. We, in fact, not just you guys, not just us, we, all the body of Christ, have something even more sure, the more sure word of prophecy. What's that? He's talking about the scriptures. Look at verse 20. Knowing this verse, I know prophecy of the scripture. So Peter says, if I had to choose, I mean, he's not saying this, but I mean, basically, if you're lining this thing up, if I had to choose between eyewitness experience, seeing the glory of Jesus Christ, or having the scriptures, he's saying the scriptures are more sure. It's more sure than the eyewitness experience. It's not diminishing the eyewitness experience. The eyewitness experience is amazing. But experiences come and go. This thing ain't changing. So when you feel good, this thing still says the same thing. When you feel bad, this thing still says the same thing. When you wake up in the middle of the night, you're getting attacked by the devil, and you think everything's falling apart, you open this thing up, it still says the same thing. And it's always testifying of Christ. It's always revealing the glory of God. So look what he says, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto, that means unto that thing, ye do well that you take heed. That means listen to it, take heed, listen to it, obey it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's a meaty verse. You're going to have to think about that and really focus on that, but that's a beautiful scripture. He goes, dude, the scripture you have, it's like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn. The day dawn is when Christ returns. Until Christ comes back in his glory, the perfect day. Until that day dawns, you got a light, and it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter until finally, boom, full day. Because right now, he says, we see through a glass darkly. Paul says that, you know? We don't see perfectly clearly. But the day will come when the day will dawn and the day star will arise in our hearts. That's the path of the just. The path of just is the shining light shineth more and more in the perfect day. Okay, what's in contrast to that? Back in Proverbs 4. In contrast to the path of the just, or let me just pause for a second. Any questions on any of that or thoughts?
I'm just looking at verse 20 and 21 as well.
Yeah, those are good, important scriptures.
Very important.
Very important.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yes. So, yeah, the day's going to shine. It's going to shine in all of us. But there's only one way, and that's with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. But the thing that he's also trying to prove is that... the Spirit, according to this, it's going to all line up, but also... you're going to have multiple witnesses. So he says, no private interpretation. Mm-hmm. So when you get a guy who's given you stuff that nobody else has ever taught, and it's like, well, this is what God showed me, you know? And it's like, no. No. Now, sometimes it appears like that. When you first start hearing truth, sometimes you think, this guy's the only one, he's making it up. I mean, my wife thought that about me for a few years. It's like, this guy's, you know, like compared to... But then she, you know, through reading, she reads old books, books written by Tozer, books written by Spurgeon, you know, great men of God who walked with God in the past, really knew the Lord. And she starts reading this stuff, and she's, wow, Adam, look at this. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I've been telling you for the last 3 years. but it's confirming, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it has to be confirmed. It can't just be one person saying something, you know?
Yeah.
You got to hear two or three witnesses. But anyways, but in contrast to the way of the just, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The way of the wicked is as darkness. We saw it. It's going to get darker and darker. But for us, it's getting brighter and brighter. Let's just look a little bit at darkness. I think this is important. We've got to understand darkness a little bit. So let's go back to John real quick. Just going to run a couple of verses. Not going to do like a thorough study, but let's look at a couple of verses. Let's understand darkness a little bit. Let's look at some truths in the Word of God and let it reshape our thinking.
John chapter 1.
We're going to look at verse 5 again. So we looked at it before, looking at the light shineth in darkness. But what does it say about the darkness? The darkness comprehended it not. So one thing you have to understand about darkness is darkness cannot understand, cannot receive, cannot believe, cannot, nothing, the light. It's impossible. Darkness cannot. Okay. Chapter 3. That's absolute truth. The darkness comprehended it not. That's not like, well, you know, but I think. It doesn't matter. That's truth. Watch this. Here's another absolute truth. John 3, 19 and 20. Somebody read that.
And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Okay, so darkness cannot receive light, can't comprehend it, can't understand it. Darkness, what is darkness? Darkness is evil. It's where evil is done. Remember, the way of the wicked, wickedness, evil. Men who are in darkness and men who love darkness, it's because they do evil.
And they're also blinded.
We have,
they can't see.
That's right. We're gonna get there. You're right. So they do evil. They do evil. They can't understand. They do evil. And not only do they do evil, but they actually hate the light. And they'll never come to the light as long as they continue in evil. Somebody who lives in evil cannot be saved if he continues to live in evil. This is why repentance must come first. This is why John came preaching repentance. Turn from your sinful ways. Turn back to God. Come back to the Word of God. That's your only hope to be saved. Repentance is not salvation. Repentance is not salvation. Repentance leads to salvation. But there's no salvation without repentance, because everyone that does evil hates the light. So if I bring Jesus to someone who does evil, they hate Jesus. They'll never come to Jesus. They want nothing to do with Jesus. They hate God. They hate the Word of God. Their only hope is that they have to get to the point where they're so grieved with their evil that they don't want their evil anymore. And they begin to turn. Repentance. That's their only hope, to actually finally receive Jesus, because darkness cannot comprehend light. Jesus is the light. The light shines in the darkness, but they can't get it. They won't get it. They hate him. Okay, this is truth. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22, 52 and 53. This is when they came to arrest Jesus. And he says, "Be come out as against a thief with swords and staves." Verse 53, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." So darkness has power Now, it's not more powerful than the light, but it does have power. Let's not minimize. There's power in darkness. And power and darkness has an hour. He says, this is your hour. In fact, God grants darkness the opportunity to have its glory, let's say, to really shine its flex its muscles. God gives that. This is your hour. You got it. It was given to you. You have this. This is the power of darkness. Yeah, but Jesus is trying to put them in their place and reprove them, going, how come during the day, we were daily in the temple together, you never stretched forth hands. How come you're coming out in the middle of the night to arrest me? Why? Because you're children of the darkness. This is your hour, and this is the power of darkness. You got to work under the night. Okay? Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The way of the wicked is as darkness. 1 John 2. Verse 9 through 12. Or 9 through 11, rather, sorry. 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11. Skulk, if you got it.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations.
No.
Where am I now?
1 John. I think you're in Peter, yeah. 1 John.
1 John. 1 John. From 9?
Yes, 9. 9 through 11.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly.
You're still in Peter.
Yeah. How did you do that?
The pages get stuck together. That's what I'm
blame the Bible.
And he's got his glasses on.
Pages are stuck together.
Blame the Bible.
He's got his glasses
on. Okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
9.
Okay, 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Go to 11.
Yeah, 11, yeah.
But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness is blinded his eyes.
Okay. Sure. So darkness can't receive light. People are in darkness because evil. They do evil. Darkness has power and it has an hour where it really gets to do its thing. God allows it, gives it its hour to do its thing. And darkness is where hate is. Hate is in darkness. Darkness is in hate. And not just hate, but literally blindness. It blinds. So that's why, again, back in Proverbs 4, again, I'm just trying to take these two verses and just kind of open them up and show you how all these scriptures all line up and they all link up. Proverbs 4, verse 19, the way of the wicked, remember, evil, wicked, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't know. They're blind. They're blinded. This blindness literally consumes them. They don't know what they're stumbling at. Now, just interesting, okay? Just give you some thoughts, okay? Let's run a few more scriptures here. Romans 9. Just want to give you some thoughts here. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Just give you some interesting thoughts here. Romans 9. You want to read, buddy?
Not even. I'm just taking notes.
Okay. Now, this is interesting. You ready? Watch this. This is neat. Romans 9. Verse 30, he's contrasting the Gentiles and the Jews. Paul's talking about Jew and Gentile in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And in verse 30, he says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. Gentiles weren't trying to be righteous. They've attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Because remember, the path of the just. The just shall live by faith. Okay, so they've attained to it because they found faith in Christ. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? They're following after, but they're not finding it. Why not? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Remember, the way the wicked is darkness, they know not at what they stumble. So here he's looking at Israel, and he's going, what they were chasing after, they never found it, because they were searching for it from the wrong motives of the heart, from the wrong way, and they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Verse 33, what's the stumbling stone? As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. What's he talking about? And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They literally stumble over Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. Again, he's specifically looking at Israel here. Verse 11, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. You know, God didn't want Israel to fall. That wasn't his desire. But then he explains, rather through their fall, salvations come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Remember, darkness, you're blind. Darkness, you stumble. Darkness, you don't know where you're going. That's what happened to Israel. Why? Why did Israel stumble? Because Solomon said the way of the wicked is as darkness. That nation became wicked. Wicked in their pride, wicked in their self-righteousness, wicked in their love of self and despising the poor and not caring. They became wicked. So that's so much so that when the shining light appeared before them, they hated him. They hated him. They despised him. They stumbled over. I mean, this is their Christ right there. This is the rock that's supposed to be their refuge and their defense. And they just stumbled right over him because their darkness, blindness in part, was put upon Israel. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. And I'll show you specifically. Again, because of their twisted interpretations and their pride and their wickedness. First Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 8, Paul says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So remember, the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. He goes, dude, if they knew, they would have never crucified him. Yeah. They would have never. But they didn't even know. They're stumbling at the one who's supposed to be their salvation. They're stumbling over him because of their wickedness and their darkness. But notice specifically, he's talking about the crucifixion. Look back at chapter 1. Again, I'm just giving you some thoughts. Chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Again, back in verse 22, the Jews are looking for a sign. The Greeks are seeking after wisdom. And Paul says, I ain't giving either of them either of it. He goes, I'm preaching Christ crucified. Yes. Under the Jews, a stumbling block. And under the Greeks, foolishness. See, what was the stumbling block? It was Christ crucified. Because of their wicked hearts and their love of their materialistic, you know, their empire they had built and all their temp and all this glory that's in the earthly things. Because of that, the kind of Messiah they wanted was one that was going to throw off the Romans and just glorify them even more in money and in power and all that.
Gotta feed the flesh.
Yeah. Feed the flesh, baby.
Yeah.
But we're spiritual about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for. So when he comes humble and meek and lowly and laying down his life and serving people and healing people and gathering the outcasts, and his disciples are a bunch of nobodies, they hated this guy. And then they kill him, and they're making fun of him on the cross, going, if you're Christ, why don't you save yourself, huh? If you're the Son of God, why don't you come down and show us? Because the idea is there's no way the Christ could ever be crucified. There's no way the Son of God could be conquered on a cross. Guess what?
That was the plan.
So literally the thing that's supposed to be their salvation, Jesus dying on a cross, becomes the stumbling block that they can't, they're going, there's no way that was the Christ. Even though the veil was rent in twain, even though the earth was ripped in two, even though the tomb was empty and the soldier said that, we were there, angels appeared. Well, just bribe them and, you know, just tell a different story. They literally just couldn't, even though it was so clear in their face, the veil was ripped up. But you know what? Because of their darkness, because of their wickedness, they didn't know what they were stumbling at. So what was meant for their salvation became their stumbling block. So, it's interesting, eh? Okay. So that's Proverbs 4. All the way back in Proverbs. This stuff is all there. It's all there. Okay. So basically the rest of this chapter is just final exhortation. And I think we'll save this for next week. This is good. So I know we're slowing down a little bit, but it'll be worth it just for this portion. This is an important portion. He's going to talk about the words. He's going to talk about the heart. Keeping the heart is going to be important, and the fruits of that. Any questions or thoughts? The path of the just gets brighter and brighter.
Even though the darkness is the darkness and they don't understand the light, but we ought to be the light, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot extinguish the light.
That's right. Can't.
So.
Amen. Absolutely.
And that's what we are yet to be, the light.
I was thinking, we call it in our bedroom is a street light. And our room is too, you can't, even if you turn the lights off, you can't get that light out, even if the curtains are closed. If there's a little bit of light, you can see in darkness.
That's right.
Just a little bit.
In fact, the darker it gets, the brighter even just a little light shines.
These caves, remember, we went into those caves and then this guy, just like, you can't even see your hand in front of you. And he lit the match. And it just, so the darkness cannot never extinguish the light.
That's right. Amen. Cannot.
That's why it's so important for us to walk in the light. It's unnecessary not to get puffed up pride or spiritual arrogance, but
we need to be the light.
We need to be the light, yeah.
Because if we shine light in the darkness, it's like what you were saying earlier. Everybody's got a chance. Everybody, even though they're living in darkness, in the darkest of darkness.
It also gives them a chance to reflect, because now they're seeing light. This person
with something I have. Now they can see, because they're blinded.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, if you're in darkness, that's why it keeps on telling you that you stumble. They keep stumbling. Because they're in darkness, because they can't see.
Yes.
They can't see.
Yeah.
But if we shine that light, then they can see.
Yeah.
And like you said, they can reflect on what, on their lives, on their own lives.
Amen. I think a good scripture to end with goes right along with this, Acts 26. I love this passage. This is Paul's call. This is when Jesus called Paul. This is what he called him for, what he called him to do. And, So now Paul's obviously retelling the story. He's standing before King Agrippa, and he's giving testimony. So then in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And then it's going to shine brighter and brighter. He saw that light that day, but it's going to get brighter and brighter in Paul's life. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And Paul says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first to them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He's going, man, I'm calling you, Paul, to open their blind eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to pull them out of the power of Satan, put them into the power of God. And so Paul goes, you know what? Then I went out and I preached they need to repent and turn to God and live a life worthy of repentance. And that's what he preached. He preached Jesus Christ. Because it's only in Christ that we can do these things. It's only in Christ. Amen. Two paths. The path of the just, the path of the wicked. And again, it's just interesting, you know, when Paul's contrasting Israel and Gentiles, Israel's going after the law, but it's by their own works. And that's a path of wickedness. It's a path of darkness. Whereas the path of the just have to live by faith. So this is why, again, all through Proverbs, where you hear, he's going, listen, listen, hear, incline, put it in your heart, receive it, meditate on it, seek it, search for it. Because faith comes by hearing. Not by doing. You don't get faith by doing. Faith comes by hearing. And if you truly hear it and believe it, then the doing will come out of it. But that won't be your works out of your own self-will. Those will be his works being perfected in you. Because we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen? Amen. John, close us in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time that we've had with you, Father. Thank you for ministering to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your word which is truth, Lord. Your word which is life and a light to our path, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Help us, Lord, to do your will and fulfill the plan and purpose that you have for our lives, Lord.
Please.
And it's ultimately to be a light in the darkness for us. So I ask you, Lord, to continue to strengthen us, to equip us, to teach us, Lord. Encourage us, Father. And give us the tools that we need, Father, to fulfill that purpose, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. We thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that you're always there, Lord. And we can count on you, Lord. You are our rock,
yeah. Lord
Jesus. That's immovable. We thank you, Father, for everything you do for us, for taking care of us, for teaching and guiding us, Lord. We worship you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.